Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. Acts, chapter number 8. I want to read one verse of Scripture tonight. I'll ask you, if you will, to stand in reverence to the Word of God. Acts, chapter number 8, verse number 2. The Bible said, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." One more time. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for everyone, Lord, that's already working so diligently to make next week a blessing for our children. And Lord, I pray that the children will get to hear about Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless in a mighty way each and every life that participates, each life, our Father, that, Lord, is being poured into the lives of these children. God, may you bless them. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On Sunday morning, we preached about Stephen, and we talked about Stephen's grave, how it may be marked. We said that if the Lord were to fill out his headstone, it would say something like, "Full of the Spirit, faithful to the Scripture," and then he finished with the Savior. Then on Sunday night, we came back and read this verse again. And we preached on the subject, "God's man is buried, now what?" And we said the war goes on, and the work goes on, and the worship goes on. Amen. We saw that after Stephen. And I'm not trying to labor the point tonight, but God has brought me back to the same verse. And I want to preach tonight on this subject. It matters how we die. It matters how we die. Stephen, if I had a way that I could pick, it would be not necessarily being stoned to death, but it definitely would be with my eyes on Jesus and have enough grace in my heart to pray that God would forgive my enemies. Amen. I'd like for that to be the case. Well, what I'm looking at tonight, and it matters how we die, and I don't know, I may not have much of an outline here, but there's several things that I want you to see. Just by way of introduction, the Bible said in verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul's going to be the last one in the line tonight, and we're going to look a little bit in depth at him. But it mattered to Saul how Stephen died. It mattered to Philip how that Stephen died. Stephen died in a manner that honored God and honored the gospel. And Philip just stood up and said, "You know what? I like that. I'm going to stay with that same gospel. I'm going to stay with that same God. I'm going to preach it if it kills me." Amen. I'm going to stay with God. And I won't go into all the things that went on in Philip's life. We touched on some of it Sunday night. But it mattered even to the eunuch how that Stephen died. You see how there, I think, Brother Jason, you were telling me about the gospel tract, so to speak, and how that somebody printed or somebody gets one to Jesus. But see, the eunuch may or may not have known anything about how Stephen died. But I want to say this. How that Stephen died, I don't believe you could hold that in a vacuum. I believe the news traveled. Amen. I mean, they didn't have telephones and they didn't have telegraph and things like that. But I believe the news traveled. You should have been there. His face shined like the face of an angel. You should have been there. He died. He said he could see Jesus standing at the Father's right. You should have been there. He prayed for those people that was throwing the rocks at him. You just should have been there. I believe the news traveled. So the eunuch may or may not have heard, but I tell you what, Philip's in the desert, and he's in the desert because he's not ashamed of the gospel and because he's sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe Stephen preached the message that he preached because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. I love the way he preached because he set them up and then he took them down. Say amen. And they were cut to the heart, the scripture said. Just by way of introduction, this is a true story, and I'm not going to use names. Things go out over the internet. If someone were to hear this, it's close to the situation, they would know who I'm talking about. But in the first church I pastored, there was a little boy that was the same age as my son. And that little boy got saved as a little boy. I think he was 7 or 8 years old. And that little boy, he died a few years back. He was in the forestry service and a lot of things that you breathe and all of that. It took him out of here. That little boy's daddy was a boss in the mines and had a good job, way up the ladder, so to speak, in the mines. And that little boy's daddy was not saved. And he would come every Sunday morning, sometimes in revival meetings, sometimes on Sunday night, but Sunday morning you could count on it. He'd be sitting there in the service. He was a man that you would say is a good moral man. He was a family man. And he wasn't saved. And I preached to that man for 5.5 years of my life. And he still wasn't saved. Here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. When I was called about his sickness, his boy's sickness, I went to North Carolina. I can't remember. I think I might have been on my way in from out of town, but I went to North Carolina to visit. And his daddy still hadn't been saved. Well, several weeks went by, and I found out, I'm pretty sure this man told me himself that he had been saved. And I asked him when I got back down there and we had the funeral, I said, I want you to tell me what it was. What held you up all those years? And I'm telling you, it floored me. He said, preachers and deacons, people that went to church. He's talking about on the job, Brother Jason. Well, I said, what made you change your mind? He said, I watched my boy die. And he said, I saw the grace of God in my boy. It does matter how you die. That boy didn't die cussing, mad at God. And it does matter how you die. And I thought that'd be a good way to set this up tonight. Here, the Bible said in verse 58 of chapter 7, they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet named Saul. I have believed for years that it would be impossible for Saul to witness the death of Stephen and it not have some impact on his life. And the reason that I'm in this text tonight and talking about this, it does matter how you die. It mattered to the church. It mattered to Philip. It mattered to the eunuch. And it mattered to Saul. It's because God has given me scripture to back up what I have thought for years. That Saul at the time was impacted by the death of Stephen. If you'll go with me, please, to the book of Acts chapter number 9. That's where we want to spend our time this evening. Acts chapter number 9. The Bible said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings." On the outside, nothing had changed in Saul's life. He was still doing just what he was doing when Stephen died. Going down to Jerusalem, arresting people, putting them in prison. And the Bible said he's yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, how many is glad tonight you're of this way? Glory to God, amen. You say, what way are you talking about? I'm talking about the John 14:6 way, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father." I'm talking about that old path, that old way, amen. Seek out the old path. When you find it, walk therein. Whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. I like that word suddenly, don't you? You know, God, that's a good one right there. God may work in our lives for a long time, but when it comes time, suddenly. You see, a lady gets to expecting a baby, but I'm going to tell you something, and suddenly, say amen. Miss E said, "I think it's time." I said, "Wake me up when you know it's time." And that elbow hit me in the rib cage, and about 2 minutes later, she said, "It's time." Got there, and the doctor, the nurses said, "Don't push, don't push, don't push. The doctor in here, don't push, don't push, don't push." I got in there with Miss Eve, and the doctor came, got his gloves on. "Push!" I said, "I can catch a football. I have to pay you all that money to do that." Amen. Suddenly, there was a baby. That birth will come suddenly. Amen. There may be a long labor, but suddenly, that which's on the inside is on the outside. Suddenly, the Bible said, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now here's where I'm starting tonight. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Let me just say this. Let's see here. Well, look in verse number one of chapter number 8. I want to make a point right here. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church. I want to ask you a question. In that verse that I just read, did Jesus say, "Why persecute the church"? Is that what he said? What did he say? He said, "Why persecutest thou me?" Look up here. Jesus sees his people, the church, and him as one. They're inseparable. You see that? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Jesus said in another place, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my disciples, you've done it unto me." Amen? That's how he sees the church. It'd do us well to see the church that way. Amen? If we say something or do something against the church, we're doing it against Jesus. It's his church. Now, watch this. He said, "Why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, wait a minute. I had to study this. Maybe I studied it years ago. There's a lot of things in life I don't remember. But I'm going to tell you this. It blessed my heart because it backed up something that I've thought for years. How could they lay the feet, their garments, at the feet of Saul and it not affect him? I'm preaching tonight on "It Matters How You Die." One old preacher said this. He said, "God's people die well." I like that statement. Amen. I've been with a lot of them when they leave this world, and they die well. Amen. Because it's well with their soul. Amen. And so I got to studying this out, and what that kicking against the pricks there, there's two ideas there. Back in that day, the farmers, they would plow with oxen. And in the front of their plow, they would mount some sharp instruments. In other words, if that ox kicked, it didn't want to kick so hard the next time. Is anybody getting the picture? Amen. You stick that leg back in that. And then the other thing was the ox goad. That was something the farmer would carry. And when he couldn't get the ox to do what he wanted to do, he would punch that ox with that metal instrument with that sharp point on the end of it, the ox goad. So there's two things there. And Jesus is telling us here, it's hard for thee. In other words, I believe ever since Paul, Saul at the time, saw Stephen leave this world, he started kicking. And he said, it's hard for thee. Amen. Listen, you remember when God convicted you, you kicked a little too. Say amen. But I'll tell you one thing right now. It gets to the place, amen, where it's real uncomfortable kicking. Amen. You realize you're just spinning your wheels and you're not going to win. And the Bible said here, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So, if you remember over in Philippians. Look at Philippians with me just a moment. Philippians chapter number 3. Oh, no, let's see here. Yeah, I believe it is. Chapter 3, verse number 6. Paul said this when he was writing to the church at Philippi. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. There we go again. It's worded persecuting the church. But when Jesus addressed Saul, he said, why persecutest thou me? I tell you tonight, I believe we'd turn a backflip if we knew how much our Lord loves His church. Amen. They're His people. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. And so tonight, I want to look at this. It made a difference in the life of Saul. I'll just give you a simple little outline that the Lord helped me with today. The first thing we see in chapter number 9, we see Saul, that later is Paul, we see him hindering the gospel. Did you know that Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me? I used to hear preaching on fence straddling, and I thought it was good preaching till I studied the Bible. Honey, there ain't nobody straddling no fence nowhere. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. And then he explained. He said, you're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. And as a matter of fact, that applies perfectly to what I just said about him hindering. The Bible said the church was scattered because of the persecution. Amen. And Paul was hindering the gospel. He desired him letters to Damascus, the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice. There's another place where there's been a discrepancy in the scripture imagined. I think Schofield tells us about it in Acts chapter 22. Let's just go over there and read it for just a moment. Acts chapter 22, verse number 9. I looked at this yesterday. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 9. There are people, and this will help you tonight if you'll listen to me and believe me. There will be times in the Scripture that it appears that there's a contradiction. But if you'll listen to what I'm going to tell you, the contradiction is never in the Scripture. It's in our understanding of the Scripture. And I'll show you an example of that right here. See, the Bible said here that he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In Acts chapter number 22, did I say? In verse number 9, I believe. Acts chapter number 22 and verse number 9. Let's read that verse and then we'll read one more verse. Well, I got the pages sticking together here. Either that or I just don't have an Acts chapter 22 in my Bible. Boy, it's stuck hard. I might have to, Brother Jason. There it is. I thank God tonight for this old book, don't you? Here we go. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "And they were with me, saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." Now look at 26 and verse number 14. Chapter 26 and verse number 14. Notice what the Bible said there. The Bible said, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." I don't have the notes in front of me, the exact Greek word, but everybody heard a sound. Everybody heard a sound. In other words, if you come in this auditorium and people were talking, you could probably hear the sound of people's voices. But the person that you're talking to or is talking to you, you could articulate what they're saying. And so, Paul, this is personal. By the way, that's the way salvation is. It's personal. Amen. When the Bible said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He wasn't talking to the crowd. The crowd heard that something was going on, but they didn't hear the voice articulated the way that Paul did. So some imagine that there's a contradiction there, when in essence there's not. So we see him hindering the gospel. And then you get down to verse number 4, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Then you see Paul hearing the gospel. Jesus is speaking to him personally, on a personal basis. Amen. I tell you, the night, February 22nd, 1987, I don't know how many people in the world were saved. I know probably beyond a shadow of a doubt I wasn't the only one. But I do know this, he spoke to me. Amen. The gospel spoke to me. I heard. Beloved, I'm not talking about an audible voice, but I heard the voice of the Spirit of God let me know that I was a sinner, that I was in trouble, and that I needed a Savior. And beloved, that my pride wasn't worth sitting still over. Amen. That I needed to move. And so we see him hearing the gospel. And look at the response here. We see him heeding the gospel. The Bible said, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do?" You see, a lot of people say, "Well, I don't see the gospel in there." I do. Lord. Do you understand? That's why Paul was killing people and putting them in prison. That's why they stoned Stephen, because he acknowledged Jesus not as a good man or a good prophet or a priest, but as the Son of the living God. Amen. That's why that thief, when he looked over, he really didn't have to say anything else when he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What he was saying is, they don't believe you are who you said you are, but I believe it. And now Saul has had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's no longer kicking against the pricks. But now he's submitted to the Lord. And he's acknowledged that he is the Lord. How would you like to be that far on the wrong side of the coin and, beloved, be personally introduced to the Savior of the world? Actually, all of us were that far on the wrong side of the coin. You say, "Well, Pastor, I never persecuted the church. I never killed any Christians. I never put anybody in prison." Do you understand that to be guilty at one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law? I believe that's why Holy Ghost conviction is what it is. Amen. The Spirit of God comes and throws the book at us, whether we're 8 years old or 80 years old. He throws the book at us and lets us know our righteousnesses, all of them, are as filthy rags. He's got something for us. He's got forgiveness. He's got mercy. And the Bible said, "The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." Saul arose from the earth. Yeah, I got to thinking about this. I'm not trying to be cute, but you know, we sing the song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found. Old Saul would sing it a little bit different. He'd say, I come in a saying, and then he blinded me. Amen. That's right there in the Scripture. I once could see, but now I'm blind. Right there in the Scripture. Now I want you to see this. The Bible said here, he led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I believe this was a sobering experience for Saul, don't you? When he met the Lord. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. I like that. Now watch this. We told you Stephen on Sunday was a godly deacon. Here's a man that's, he's not an apostle. He's just a disciple. But God spoke to him. And God used him in the life of Saul. And the Lord said unto him, excuse me, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. I say he did, didn't you? Amen. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might recover or receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, Ananias just like me and you are, amen. Let me paraphrase in Northeast Tennessee English. You sure about this, Jesus? Amen. Watch what he said. He said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done by thy to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. I've heard stories, maybe some of you all had, I can't remember them, but I've heard stories or read them about people like Billy Sunday when they went into a town. You know what they went looking for, Brother Jason? The meanest man in that town. They'd go looking for that drunkard or that bootlegger because they knew that if God could turn that man's life around, the whole community would stand up and take notice. Amen. You know what God did? He said, oh, Saul, he thinks he's something. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him. Amen. And God revealed himself to him. And beloved, the word got out. And beloved, God used him in a mighty way. I want you to see this. The Bible said here, Go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. Boy, he did that too, didn't he? And the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, Saul had been on the administering end of the suffering. Now he's going to be on the receiving end of the suffering. But I tell you what I love about the Apostle Paul. He's glad to do it. He'd rather be suffering for Christ than causing suffering to Christ and his church. The Bible said, Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, Brother Saul, the Lord. How you like that? How you like that? Glory to God. Amen. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Those couldn't have been real easy the words to say, but it was the truth. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. Ain't it good to know you've been sent? Jesus, send us, amen, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales. I guess some of you all have told me at different times you've had to go and get cataract surgery done. And that's what this kind of reminds me of a little bit, amen? It's like there's something filmed over your eye and it's got to come off so you can see clearly. Only it was worse. He couldn't see at all. He was blind, amen? And the Bible said they fell off as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So we see it does matter how you die. We take a man from hindering the gospel to hearing the gospel to heeding the gospel. And now we're going to get into another step in his life. He's helping the gospel. He's on the right side of the gospel. Let me say this tonight. I think you'll understand what I'm going to say. The gospel really don't need any help. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will stand on its own. But it's in God's plan for God's people to proclaim God's gospel. He could have used a donkey or cattle, or he could have used anything in the world that he wanted to. He could have sent angels down, and he's going to in the tribulation hour. Amen. But God, if we'd ever get a hold of this, chooses to use the likes of you and I to spread something as precious as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is, this is it, what I told you a while ago, the Son of God. He went right back into those places where he used to be a member. Amen. The Pharisee of the Pharisees. He went right back in there and said, boys, y'all are wrong about Jesus. Amen. That Jesus we crucified got up the third day, knocked me off my high horse on the Damascus Road, saved my soul. He's much alive. And he's the Son of God. I like that. You say, Pastor, where'd all this start? Well, it started before the foundation of the world. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe in Saul's life, watching Stephen die had an impact. He had never seen anybody die like that before. Had never seen anybody die like that. So now, he's helping the gospel. Straightway, he preached. The Bible said, Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So the first thing he did in helping the gospel was he preached. Then the Bible said, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? In other words, those that were looking from the outside in could see a difference in this man's life. I'm not going to be mean about this, but I'm going to make a Bible statement. They ought to be able to see a difference in our lives too. Amen. We shouldn't be telling the same jokes they tell, looking at the same things they look at, doing the same things they do. Say amen. Miss Eve and I come by the bingo hall a while ago. I didn't feel one bit led to pull in there and play a game of bingo before I come to church. Say amen. This is my crowd. This is where I belong. Amen. In the house of God. My Lord and my Savior died for me on an old rugged cross so that my life could be changed. I'm not perfect, but I will be. I am different. And the Bible tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. The Bible talks about us being a peculiar people. Amen. I believe God's people are different. Amen. The Bible said he preached. Now I want to give you this. Look at Galatians chapter 1 with me, please, in verse number 18. There's something else that Paul did that was very, very important. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 18. In my studies, I believe what I'm going to show you in Galatians chapter 1 fits between chapter 9 verse 21 and chapter 9 verse 22. Watch this. The Bible said in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 18, then after 3 years, well, let me back up. Verse 17.
Well, let me back up. Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. 3 years. What was Paul doing for 3 years in Arabia? I'll tell you what he was doing. I said he's helping the gospel. He preached immediately. He's preparing. He's out there, beloved. Listen, you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, how many of them books can we name? I'm not trying to show off. I'm just going to try. But without Paul, we don't have Romans. We don't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. What's the next one, Brother Jason? Is it Galatians? We don't have Galatians. We don't have Ephesians. We don't have Philippians. We don't have Colossians. We don't have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We don't have 1st and 2nd Timothy. We don't have Titus. We don't have Philemon. Or as I used to say, Philemon. Call him whatever you want to. It's a good book. Amen. A picture of the grace of God. And I believe, especially after what God showed me a little while back, he wrote Hebrews as well. I was in doubt about that for years. But when I saw that in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the end of the last chapter, Paul said this token in every epistle, he signs out of every one of his books with the grace of God. Nobody else does that. And you go to, first, when God let me see that, first thing I done, I went right to Hebrews. And I looked over at the end of the book of Hebrews, and there it is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I said, okay, Lord, I give up. Amen. I knew Hebrews was inspired one way or the other, but I believe the Apostle Paul also wrote the book of Hebrews. That's 14 books. And beloved, that didn't happen. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. That didn't happen while the man of God was busy, 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 busy. That happened because there was 3 years. He's out there on the backside of the desert preparing alone with God. He's telling us, I didn't get my training from Peter. I got it from Jesus. Amen. And there are people, I'll say this, I'll try to say as kindly as I can, foolish people that don't even believe that you ought to look at the epistles of Paul like he's some imposter. Oh, beloved, I tell you, where would we be as a church? Amen. Where would we be in our understanding of the grace of God? Where would we be with our understanding of God's way of salvation without? It starts with Romans and all them other books. I can't go there again. Amen. I made it once. I think I made it anyway. 14 books that God gave us. It matters how we die. It mattered to Saul. Let's go back over there just a moment. I'm about done or finished. Miss Eve, either one you want to say. Amen. The Bible said in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Ain't that something? Amen. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple, but Barnabas. Barnabas is called the son of consolation. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in our country. I don't know what's going to happen in our world. But I'm just going to make a statement. We're no better than the early church. The day could come when they're hunting us too. Amen. I don't know about you, but by the grace of God, I'm not backing up. I'm going to stay with this old book. Amen. I'd rather go out like Stephen than I would, beloved, to be a compromiser just to get to stay in this sin-benighted world a little longer. When the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. Then the comfort of the Holy Ghost, I love that last word, were multiplied. Multiplied. Amen. Humanly speaking, I believe it all started with a man named Stephen that died graciously, praying for his enemies with his eyes on Jesus. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?